how have you been enjoying this series, Running with the Giants? Have you been learning? Have you been leaning in and learning about who these giants are of our faith? They have run the race, and they have much to share with us. They have a lot of wisdom that we can glean from them. So it refers to, in Hebrews 11, that's the hall of faith, where you'll find a lot of these people who have, all the great things that they have done. And our main scripture today is Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, there we go, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So this talks about we're surrounded by these witnesses so we can learn from them. And so Pastor Jeff has taken us on this journey talking about each person that we can learn from. That we're surrounded by all these people, and they come down out of the grandstands and then they take a lap with us. They're like, hey, let me show you how to live this out. So we're going to talk about another person today. But first of all, let's talk about listening. There's two types of listening, right? There is, we listen to somebody, we learn from their lives, they make mistakes, and we go, oh, I'm not going to do it that way, right? Or, which what I did most of my young life, is learn the hard way, which is called the school of hard knocks, right? So that was me when I was young. So let me share the story with you. Some of you probably have heard this before, but when I was little, and my parents are here, they love when I talk about, and I have a twin sister who's here too that loves when I talk about when I was little. I really loved people and life, and I was just one of these little girls that didn't pay attention. I just kind of didn't pay attention to a lot of things. So I remember one day, my grandparents lived in Bowling Green, Kentucky, on this piece of property, and I was outside with my sister and my mother, and I don't even know what we were doing. I was pretty young, and so my mom had said to me, my aunt lived on this property, by the way. She had her trailer, a far piece. Yeah, you know, if you're from Kentucky, it's a far piece, right? But you could see it. And she said to me, now, Tracy, I know that's your Aunt Judy's house. I loved Aunt Judy. Do not go over there. There's an electric fence. So we don't want you to go over there. Well, my sister had to go to the bathroom. And my mom said, I'm going to be gone just for a minute, so you stay right here. Do you think I stayed right there? No. Did I learn? No. Did I listen? No. I decided, you know what? I know what a fence is. I can climb over the fence. Now, did I know what an electric fence was? No, but I knew what a fence was. So I thought, well, I love my Aunt Judy. I'm going to go see Aunt Judy. This is a great idea. So my mom leaves, and I remember walking, and I never saw the fence. I never saw it. And they had turned it high for some reason that season. So it was pretty high. And so that fence knocked me down. And I actually remember hanging like this, like here's the fence, and I'm hanging off of the fence. I do remember that. And I remember thinking, I wasn't even thinking. It was so much power in that electricity, I didn't know what to do. But I remember hearing a voice, and I really believe it was the first time in my life I've ever heard the voice of God. Because I was by myself. And somebody said to me, let go of the fence. Let go of the fence. And I just let go of the fence, and then I passed out. And then I remember being taken to the hospital with holes in my shoes, in my jeans, and in my shirt. This is why I'm different today. Anyway, needless to say, I share that story because you don't want to be hanging on a fence. You want to listen, right? You don't want to do things your own way. You want to listen, you know, listen. Listen to what these people are telling us. They were real people. They went through real hard things, just like us. We go through really hard things. So, all right, who are we going to talk about today? We are going to talk about, well, first of all, let's go to Joshua. Joshua 24, 16. This is when the Israelites, they were serving the Lord. And so they said to Joshua, the people replied, we would never abandon the Lord. Now, that's funny, okay, because we know how the Israelites are, and serve other gods, Joshua 24, 16, and they're telling Joshua this, okay? And so what ends up happening is this generation dies, and the next generation lives and comes, and you know what? They didn't know God. They didn't remember all his miracles. They didn't know who he was. And so in Joshua, or this is actually Judges, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal, or served idols. So what happened was they weren't serving God anymore. And they decided, it talks about in Judges, that they decided that they would do whatever they thought was right. Does that sound familiar? Do we live in a time and age where people are going, I'm just going to, you know, it's good for me. I mean, you know, you believe what you believe, I'll believe what I believe, and we'll just all get along and be happy. You know, it was a dark time during that time, just like it's a dark time now. I mean, you look around and you see a lot of people, there's shootings and there's people dying and there's the fires that are in California. There's things that are happening that are tragic every day. Lots of disease and, you know, famine, all those things are happening in this world. It's just a dark time. And, you know, that's how it was in Israel at that time. But, you know, God is faithful. He raises up people in the dark times. In your dark time, God raises up people to help us navigate through those things. And so who did he raise up? Let's see. It was Deborah. Deborah, a woman in Israel, who was a judge and a prophet, by the way. And she was actually in a place of honor. God had put her there. And this was a woman where in Israel at that time, women were not thought of very highly. They were not valued at all. What's interesting about Deborah was that she actually heard personally from God. A lot of people in the Old Testament, they heard angels, they saw angels, and angels would give them a message from the Lord. But Deborah actually heard from God. It set her apart. Not only was she a judge, she was a prophetess. I mean, usually judges were warriors, like Samson. He was a judge and he was a warrior. But Deborah wasn't. She was a judge and a prophetess. And so God had used her in that time. And so let's look at her story. Let's see what she would say to us. What would Deborah say to us if she was coming to run with us during these dark times? She says, when you feel overwhelmed and afraid, rise up in strength and courage. Rise up in strength and courage. That's what she would say to us. In your situation right now, if you're feeling afraid and you're feeling overwhelmed, you know what? The enemy wants to put his foot on your neck. He wants to say, oh, and guess what? And this too, and here. Let me just heap more guilt on you or heap more fear on you right now. Don't do that. Don't let the enemy tell you to do that. Don't let him do that to you. You rise up. You rise up in strength and courage in the name of Jesus, and you say no to him. You know what? You just have a fit in your bedroom. I have in my kitchen, too, and also in my bathroom. My whole house, by the way, has known the, you know, in the Holy Spirit. You know, it's funny. The other day, my son said to me, I had a nightmare. This has been a while back. I had a nightmare. I need you to anoint the house again. I'm like, well, give me the bottle. Okay. You know, and so, yeah, mom does that. I anoint bedrooms. I anoint beds. In the name of Jesus, we're not going to put up with the enemy. And see, it's up to you to do that, to walk in your authority. Walk in your authority in Jesus' name. Okay, that's what Deborah is saying to us. Okay. Now, all right, she was a woman who heard from God. So what happened? She contacted Barak. Barak was an army, the commander of the Israel armies, and he was overwhelmed. They were being surrounded by the enemy. And she said to him, hey, come on, go to battle. God has said you're going to win this battle. You're going to win. You need to go to the battle. You need to, it's time. Now is the time to step into this, that God is going to do it. And so, well, she said, yes, encouragement makes all the difference. And this is what Barak told her. I will go only if you will go with me. This is in Judges. So he was very kind of intimidated. He was like, I'm not sure that our army can pull this off. I'm not sure. He was a little intimidated. And she said to him, you need to go. You need to go. She was an encourager. Encouragement makes all the difference. And then Deborah said to Barak, get ready. Hey, get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera. For the Lord is marching ahead of you. The Lord is going before us. Amen. That's right. So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor into battle, Judges 4:14. And guess what? She went with him. She went with him. And you know what? They won that victory. they won that victory. You know, Deborah is telling us to rise up. And she's also saying to us, encouragement makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Do you know, when I was in college, I actually started a nursing school, Sarah. I was accepted into U of L's nursing school, and I wanted to be a nurse until I figured out I could kill somebody. So then I decided that I wouldn't pursue that. And so I switched over to nutrition. I just felt like, well, if I could hurt people, that would be longer. And so anyway. All right. So there is a point to this story. Okay. So in nutrition, there's tons of chemistry, which I did not know. And the Lord has to help me in chemistry. And so there's like, and so I would like cry every day before going to class. I would almost get sick before tests. It was horrible. And my husband would go, honey, you can do this. You can do, he would pray over me. He would pat my back. He would, you know, here's time to study. He was my greatest encourager in college and still is to this day. And you know, I graduated, it took me 6 years, but it's because I got married and I went part-time some. But I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition. And oh, the Lord is good, but you know what? We can't do it without encouragement, can we? Do you know we live in a very negative world? I bet that's a shock to you, right? So everywhere we go, we hear all these negativity. We hear, you can't do it, you're a failure, why try, you're stupid, nobody's going to listen to you, right? You're nothing. You know, you're just going to be like your dad, or you're just going to be, you know, it's just all these negativity. Well, guess what? Why don't we do things differently? Why don't we determine that we're going to be encouragers? Right. That we're going to infect the culture of wherever we're working. Where we're working, whether it's in a hospital, where we go to school, where at home, that we're going to be the biggest encouragers, that we're going to make a difference in people's lives. Okay, how many have failed? Have you ever failed? Okay, how many people know when you failed? Okay, how many people need somebody else to point out that you failed? No, we don't need somebody telling us how we failed, right? We don't need somebody telling us how we could have done things better, right? We don't need that. We need cheerleaders. Come on. I know you know, get up. You can do this. God is in this. God is in this. Go for it. Do it. Take a step out. Take a step of faith, right? Let's get excited. Let's be people who encourage one another. We can be so negative. Do you know, here I am. I'm studying this, right? I'm spending time with God. Woo, and I'm praising the Lord. He's so good. And then I go to clean my bathroom. And I fuss at my son. I'm like, and I say something so negative comes flying out of my mouth, just flying out of my mouth, and I don't even think about it. So I go back to the bathroom and I'm cleaning, and the God said, "What did you do?" And I said, "Oh, I just." He said, "You need to go make that right." I said, "I will," because when God brings conviction, you better respond, right? You don't want to hang on the fence, guys. Don't hang on the fence. Okay, that's not good. So I made it right. I apologized to my son. I said, "You know, I'm sorry. I just spoke something very negative to you, and I apologize to you for that." And he said, "Whatever." And I said, no, I need you to forgive me. I spoke something negative, and I'm so sorry. I don't want to ever do that." And he said, "Okay, Mom." He's so sweet. I love my son. And so, you know, we got to really work on the words that come out of our mouth. There's life and death given in our tongue, right? Speak life to people. Speak life to people. You know, when you had babies, some of you all who've had babies, grandbaby, whatever, you know, you're an aunt or whatever, you see that little baby, they start walking. You're like, oh, you know, you call your mom, "Look, Mom, look, it's, you know, watch, you know," and we're so excited the baby's walking, you know, and the baby toddles and the baby falls down. And we're like, "Okay, get back up." Yes. And we're just always such an encouragement, you know, to them. "You're a genius. You're great. Look, he's only 8 months and he's walking. He's a genius," you know. So we're just speaking all kinds of positive and encouraging words over that baby. And what are we doing? What are we doing? You're creating a culture, an environment. Does that baby want to walk more? "Well, yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm going to walk again. And then I'm going to walk again." And does a baby fall? Yes, a baby falls. Of course a baby falls. That's part of life. Do we all like, "Oh my gosh, you only took 3 steps. Dear Lord." I mean, do we say that stuff to the baby? Do we go, "What is wrong with you? Can't you walk straight?" I mean, do we do that to the baby? We do it to each other. Don't we? We do it to each other. Oh, I can't believe And here they are. They take a step in the right direction. Even if it's a tiny step in the right direction, a minute step in the right direction, you should say, yes, that's perfect. That's wonderful. You're doing great. Here's what we want to do. Well, yeah, but, you know, you could have done this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Well, what kind of culture do we just, what kind of environment do we create there? Anybody want to try after that? No, not with all kinds of negative things already in your ear. You want to get up again so somebody can tell you how you could have done it better the next time? I mean, who wants to do that? Do you know what's important? We are going to be like Deborah. We're going to encourage. And you know, the Lord spoke to me before I even started the sermon, and he said, I want you to set the table. I said, set the table? Well, I mean, Thanksgiving's coming up. We're going to set the table for that. Christmas, you know, and that's a big deal for me. I mean, I always like, okay, what tablecloth, what runner, what dishes? I mean, it's very intentional. Why do we do that? Why do we go to trouble? What does that mean to people? We love people. We want to create community with people. We want people to want to be at the table. We want people to feel loved, to feel wanted, to feel accepted. It's a culture. It's an environment that we create. So I feel like God's saying, set a table in your mind. Set a table with your words. Be intentional to people. Encourage people. Encourage people. It's powerful. That's like a weapon against the enemy. It just slices right through what he's trying to do when we love people and we encourage people and we use our words intentionally to speak life to people. And we don't just vomit on people. Where do we do that, don't we? We just vomit right on people. Sorry, it's a word, vomit. I mean, I just use that kind of stuff. But, you know, God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to be intentional with our words. You are powerful. You have a purpose in this life. You mean so much in your family. Those children, those people that you work with, those people that you are living by, your neighbors that really get on your nerves. I know. I understand. But you're there for a purpose and a reason, guys. You're there. And it's a dark time, so we need to rise up and do what God has called us to do, okay? All right. So when you are feeling overwhelmed and afraid, rise up with courage and strength, all right? And we're going to encourage people. We're going to encourage people. One thing about this I thought was really interesting was that, you know what, if you go to Hebrews 11, you never see Deborah's name one time in the Great Hall of Faith. She did not get that credit. Barak did. Isn't that interesting? But you know what? I think she probably didn't care. Isn't it something if we could, in this day and time of social media, help people and encourage people and not care who gets the credit? Now that can be difficult. But you know what? That's what she did. She didn't care. And we need to be that way. We need to be people who encourage and love and come right alongside somebody and not care who knows and not care if we get the credit, because it's all about God, right? It's about his kingdom. It's about his kingdom coming to this earth. It's about people getting saved. It's about people seeing Jesus in us. And so that God gets the credit, not me. Right? So we're going to be Deborah. We're going to be encouragers. All right, number two, another word of wisdom from Deborah. We need to be brave. She was brave. She was brave when Barak said, hey, I need you to come with me. You know, you're going to go with me into the battle. She could have said, now, wait a minute. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you what God said. I am a prophet, hello, and a judge. I am not a warrior. I don't know if she's ever even gone into a war before, into battle. You know what? But she went. She did. She went. Proverbs 31:15 says, she also gets up while it is still night. Do you know what I thought that was? And I know it could be that. You know, he's talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Hallelujah. We understand that. But you know what? What about getting up when it's night and it's dark out, like dark times? What about ladies? What about men? We get up when it's dark out. I'm not talking about outside. I'm talking about when it's dark in our homes. I'm talking about when things happen that's hard, that we get up. We get up. We get up. We don't sit down, because the enemy wants you to sit down. He wants you to be quiet and sit down and stay distracted and then chase your tail and then use up all your energy. He doesn't care. Okay, Judges 5:7. And there were a few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother. Hallelujah for mothers. Physical mothers and spiritual mothers. We need you all to rise up. Rise up and take your place. Rise up, just like Deborah. And the Lord said in Joshua, haven't I commanded you strength and courage? Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Every step you take, God is with us. And God was with Deborah, and she was brave. She went into that battle, and guess what? They won. They won. And see, we need to be brave. We need to be brave for a reason. Brave isn't just about a good idea. Brave is conviction. Brave is a conviction. I'm going to be brave here. I'm going to be brave. And it's not just a global scale. I mean, we need to be brave and stand up for people who can't speak for themselves. We've got the unborn that we need to stand up for. People that are on the street, people that are homeless. There's famine, there's devastation, there's disease, and there's so many opportunities that we need to step into and be involved in. And I totally get that. I totally encourage that. But what about everyday bravery? What about, I mean, Deborah, she risked her life going into this battle. She was out of her comfort zone. She didn't know what she was doing. I feel like that sometimes. I'm like, just get in the water, belly flop, jump in, whatever you need to do. If God is telling you to do something, just do it. Stop sitting around trying to figure it out. Okay, it's gonna. Now I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and this is how it's going to be. That's how I like it. And God is like, that's not how I work. I need you to get in the water, and then I'll part it. I need you to get in the water, I'll part it, and then I will make it dry land for you. I need you to get in the water. Will you get in the water? Or are you just waiting on God to do something, and then you're like, I'll get in the water then. That's not how God works. So we need to be brave. He wants every day us to be brave every day. Every day. Everyday bravery. Everyday sticking out in your marriage. You know what? Marriages are hard, right? So you can have a rough patch. If you've been married more than 12 minutes, guess what? You've had a rough patch. And all of us who've been married for a long, hallelujah, right? We have. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. You can admit it. We all have rough patches. It's fine, right? It's okay. Because you know what? Taking one man and one woman and putting them together and making one is only easy in the movies, right? Right? It's true, you know? And so it's hard. It's hard. So God wants us to be brave in our marriages. He wants us to be brave when we've hit those hard places. He wants us to be brave at work when it's hard and it's tough and you didn't get the promotion you thought you should have gotten, or probably you should have gotten it. You know, you're passed over. God wants you to be brave then. God wants us to be brave when you choose not to be addicted anymore. God wants us to be brave when we are going through the recovery process again, right? God wants us to be brave when you're trying to love someone that's really, really hard to love. He wants us to be brave. That takes courage. That takes brave. And that takes the God kind of bravery, God kind of courage. You know what's really hard too, and what takes a lot of bravery and courage? To forgive somebody. It does. It really does. Because Jesus said you have to forgive from the heart. I had a situation once, not too long ago. I was so hurt. Somebody had hurt me so bad, and it was just a deep hurt. And I kept just going through the motions. Okay, I'm going to forgive. Okay, I pray. Okay, forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Yeah, I forgive. I forgive. And they would be around me, and I'm like, oh, I just don't like him at all. I just want to slap him. Now, I know that's hard. I'm a pastor. I shouldn't feel that way. But you know what? I'm human, and yes, sometimes I want to slap people. I don't do it, and God loves me, but, you know, I also want to pull people's hair out. I repented of that. Okay, so I couldn't get anywhere. I was stuck in this unforgiveness. I just was stuck, and I just kept going through the motion. And finally, I just said, God, what is wrong? He said, well, Tracy, first of all, you are really hurt, and you don't want to deal with your pain. And so you just keep saying you forgive, which is great, but you're not, because you're hurting so bad. I said, well, yeah, but can't I just forgive like this and it go away? He's like, no, you need to sit with me for a while. So I sit with the Lord. I sit in silence. I sit with him. And I say, God, you need to come and be with me. I don't know what to do. This hurts so bad. I don't know how to do this. Absolutely don't. So I cry a lot. And the sweet presence of God comes and lifts that thing. And guess what? I could forgive after that. But, you know, we're so busy. We just want to go through the motions. And God is not. Mm-mm. Because, you know what? We are created for intimacy. You can't just go through the motions in intimacy, can you? This doesn't work that way. So you need courage to forgive somebody and really forgive them from the heart. How about being brave to keep your mouth shut when you want to attack back? Oh, I just got this really good thing I could say back because, and God says, let's be brave here. Let's not say those things that just come right into your mind, right? How about being brave to tell the truth? Yeah. Well, reasons I can be brave. What are the reasons that I can be brave? I know who I am. I'm a daughter of the King. And gentlemen, you are the sons of the Most High. You are held by God. You are loved by God. You are known by God. He sticks closer than a brother. He loves us so much. We can be brave because we know who we are. And Deborah did. She knew who she was. She knew that in that moment she was born. And there was such a time as this. She knew that she was born for the battle. You could have been born in any other time in the world, but you were born now. You're born to work where you're working. You were born to be and live where you live right now. You know why? Because there's a purpose and a plan that God has for you. To be full of encouraging words and encouragement and to be brave to speak what you need to speak and to say and do what God has called you to do in that moment. And you can be brave because you know who you are. You know who you are. You know who you are. And guess what? We can be brave because heaven is our home. We don't live here. I mean, we live here, but you know what? Heaven is our home. We live here, but this is only our assignment. Hallelujah, right? This is only our assignment. This is not our home. We are seated in heavenly places. See, we are aliens here. We can be brave because heaven is our home, right? And God is our Father. And God can speak to us. And so my job here is to represent the heart of God and to bring the kingdom of God into this world through who I am. I don't have to be my husband. He's wonderful. I love him. But I don't have to be my husband. I'm just Tracy. And Tracy gets hung on fences sometimes. And Tracy wants to pull people's hair out and kick people sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that's godly. None of that. But, you know, it's just you're real. And it's okay. God loves you. God loves you right where you are. And he's continuing to work on you. He's continuing to work on you. And he loves you so much. He does. He is for you. So Deborah is saying, rise up in courage and strength. Be an encouragement wherever you are. Be brave. Be brave. Do what God has called you to do. Because, why? Because you know who you are. Because heaven is your home. And the third one is, because God causes all things to work together for good. And you know what? That's hard. I love that scripture, and I think that's true. I really do. I think that's true. And I know that God is good, and he does work all things together for good. But you know what? Sometimes we walk through some really hard things in this life, don't we? We walk through some really hard things. You know, I don't know why I have these. I guess I've been holding them the whole time. Anyway, so, and I want to go to my next picture. I mean, God says, remember, you are his masterpiece. In Ephesians 2:10, he says that we are his masterpiece. Now, I know this is a little fuzzy here, but, you know, it's a tapestry. So I kind of wanted to give you all an illustration. And you can kind of see what this is, but it's a jumbled mess. And this is kind of how our lives are. It's a jumbled mess. It's got some really colorful places in it. It's got some dark places in it. This is like our lives. This is like our lives from the beginning to the end. And you know, when we live our lives, we only live right here, just right here. And in places, there's dark places. There's dark places. There's naughty places. Things like, that's the place that you lost a job. You know, that's a place where your marriage fell apart. That's a place where, you know, sickness is diagnosed or just really rough stuff that happens in our lives. And those are dark places. And those are painful places. You know, we had some of you know this, we've had two miscarriages in our lives. The first one, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said to me, he said, you're pregnant with a boy. And we had not been planning this at all. It just totally came to me. And he said, and this pregnancy is going to be different. That's all he said. So I was like, oh my word. I went out and bought a little boy outfit So about 9, 10 weeks later, we lost the baby, complete loss of baby. And I thought, why in the world would you tell me something like that? What? My heart was already, you know, when you're pregnant, you're already attached to the baby before you even feel the baby move. I mean, that baby is real, and he is real, you know. And I just, and then when I lost the baby, it was so hard. It was really a hard time of understanding why would this happen? Why would this difficult place happen? It's a dark place, dark place. And then we lost another baby. After we'd had Eliza, we got pregnant again. Again, wasn't planning on that one, and we lost that one. And that was even a harder loss for us than the first one. And in that one, it was the enemy. See? See? Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. You did something wrong. You can't really, can't have children anymore. You can't. I mean, just all kinds of accusation that the enemy says to us in those dark places, isn't it? And then it's like, how can we then, can you go back to the next slide? Not the next one, but the one before. How can then you say that God causes all things to work together for good? How can that be good? Miscarriage is not good. Cancer is not good. God doesn't give us cancer because he doesn't have it to give, by the way. Right? We live in a very fallen world, a very broken world where things happen and we're affected. And it really stinks. I have to tell you, it really does. But you know what? I know it's true that God is good and he works all things together for good. I've been able to minister to some ladies who've had miscarriages on this side of things. I understand what it's like. I understand the emptiness and the longing that you feel, you know. But here's the thing. It's not the end of the story. The things that we're doing and that God is doing in us, it's not the end of the story. See, it's, and you go back to the tapestry. I love this little picture. Okay, so, you know, if you look at different things, like for instance, let's think about Joseph's life, right? If you take certain aspects and you don't look at his full life, you just look at, okay, his brothers hated him. They threw him in a pit. He was sold to slave traders, right? That is a stinky thing. I mean, that in and of itself, the part of the tapestry, that's a dark place. That's awful for him. And then what happened? Went to Potiphar's house, right? Got, you know the story. And then he got accused. He was trying to do the right thing, and he was accused and thrown in prison and then forgotten. There's some dark places right there, right? And then he was forgotten. But then you see it on the other side. You see it on the other side that he probably wouldn't have been able to be the influencer that he was if he didn't experience all the things that he had to experience. He wasn't really happy about all the suffering and things that Joseph went through or that we're going through or that we've gone through. It isn't like God is saying, yeah, that's great. I'm going to really make them strong. I think that God cries with us, honestly. I think God walks with us. I think God carries us. In the very hardest places of my life, I saw Jesus in my friends and in my family who carried me, who cried with me. Praise God for that. Do you know how you battle in the dark times? How do you battle in the dark times? Choose joy. Now, somebody told me that once, and I got really mad at him. I'm like, I don't want to choose joy. I don't feel like joy at all. It stinks. It's not about that. It's not about that you're joyful because you're going through all these really awful, horrible things. That's not what that is. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is the backbone that drives all the way through our back and gives us strength. It's God, and you find things, you know, you're like, okay, everything is so bad right now, but you know what? I have a good hair day. You just kind of try to think about, that's how you battle. That's how you battle in dark times. Find something to be grateful for, because the enemy is not going to win this war. Because Deborah is saying, rise up and be strong. Rise up with courage and strength. Be an encouragement to the people around you. Be brave. Be brave. And then while we can be brave, we know who we are. Heaven is our home. And that God does work all things. He works all things, causes everything to work together for good, right? And because we are his masterpiece, he's working on us. He's working on us. Trust the Lord. Every single thing in your life, from good to bad to ugly, God is using. He's making it beautiful. He's making it beautiful. So the Lord loves you so much. So Father, we love you. We thank you. If I could have the worship, all the worship coming up, please. So we thank you, Lord, that you are with us today. That, Father, you have a plan and purpose for our lives. God, that you want us in the dark times to rise up. You want us to rise up and be full of courage and strength. Lord, you have a plan for us. You have a plan for us. We just thank you, Lord, that you are good. That you're creating in us, every part of us, a beautiful masterpiece, piece of art. Just love you, Lord. We just thank you. I like all the worship, all of our ministry team to come forward. You know what, guys? I didn't show the other side of the tapestry. Oh, Lordy be. Tap to the top. Let's do it at the top. Sorry. This is who God has called us to be, a beautiful piece of art. Sorry. We can get it back on. My goodness. Okay, so our messy life. That's what it looks like to us. There it is. A beautiful crown. He makes our lives beautiful. Thank you, honey, for reminding me. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, that you called us to be Deborah. You called us to be courageous. You called us to be brave. You called us to be an encouragement. So, if that's you this morning and you feel like, I just need prayer this morning, I need more courage in my life, I need to be an encourager, I just need the Lord. I need the Lord to come and to deposit in me a new strength, a new courage. And just come forward, guys. Let's pray for one another.